Today on Real Radio.
Contrary to the revisionists, the pilgrims did not come for economic reasons, nor for social justice. They didn't come for racial issues. In their own writings, they said they came that they could worship freely without the intrusion of the king.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack delivers a special presentation in commemoration of the national holiday we celebrate this week here in America, Thanksgiving. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a message called, We Give Thanks to You, O God.
Going back 4 to 5 generations, we come back to the formation of the United States. I've knocked on doors in Russia at the Kremlin that were 1,000 years old. In America, it's like a gangly teenager. It seems as though God had preserved America, and I believe he did. Listen to this, from the 1740s to around the year 2000, the Lord blessed America more than any other nation that the world has ever seen. Ever. By the way, including Israel, their day's coming. Their days of blessings are coming. You may not know this because you and I have been satisfied on so much and we become complacent. But even when the British invaded the 13 colonies in early America, it is recorded, and I have the writings at home, I'm trying to remember what book it is, but it is recorded that when the officers and soldiers broke in to the common colonial home, our furniture and our fabric and our standard of living was higher than any other country in Europe. Did you know that? In 1775. God blessed the bounty. Did you know that when the British invaded Breed's Hill or Bunker Hill, as we know it in America, Breed's Hill? Yeah, the British won, but the Parliament said, if we have any more victories like this, it will surely prove ruinous to the victor. The British won the Battle of Bunker Hill, but it cost them 1,000 British lives in an appalling slaughter. When they got to the top of Bunker Hill, they looked around in the midst of all the death and mayhem. They said it was the most pristine, perfect, beautiful place outside of heaven. They said the only thing you could see was the beautiful waters of Boston Harbor and the Atlantic, rolling green hills, apple orchards as far as the eye could see, and only interrupted by the spires of church steeples. God had blessed America. And I know this sounds silly, his exceeding supply for America, but while the British forces were starving to death in most cases, in the opening years of the Revolutionary War that brought about our independence, the American soldier was the best fed. And you ought to read the accounts, the literal menus for the soldiers in the opening years of the Revolution were amazing. You say, what do you bring that up for? Because you know what, the other day, this is going to sound corny, but the other day, Lisa and I were in the grocery store on Monday night. I saw three of you in there Monday night. And I had in my hand corn on the cob, and I was looking at it, and this is just what's going on in my heart. I was looking at it, and I told Lisa, I said, look at this. How can someone not believe in a God? If you do not believe in God tonight, I want you to go and stand in the produce section of any grocery store. And I want you to ask yourself, the corn, the broccoli, the onions, the oranges, the apples, the fruits and the vegetables alone speak of the glory of God. On top of the fact that he not only engineered them to be wonderful for us, but even as they change in seasons, they just happen to be the exact vitamins that you need during the long daylight hours and the short daylight hours, the warm temperatures, the cold temperatures, God did all that. And America has been the produce capital of the world. So if you doubt the existence of God, go look at a banana. And you tell me how evolution can concoct a banana, a perfect packaged, ready to ship, sealed in its own wrapping. Perfect fruit. And a coconut can drift across the oceans and land on the sandy beach and become a tree to bring more coconuts. God is awesome. And he has exceedingly blessed and supplied America. We are so spoiled, we have forgotten God, I fear. We give God thanks, number three, because, listen, of his strong protection. I'm concerned about this one. Take a look at the patriotic songs of America. And I don't even know if they're taught in schools anymore. But when I grew up, you know, remember when we grew up, we were in public school. Remember the songs we used to sing? We used to sing God Bless America. We had to. It would offend somebody. Nobody even used the word offend. The word wasn't even used. We were Americans. Yeah, but you know what? This guy's from Portugal. This guy's from Canada. We were Americans. And we sang songs. Yankee Doodle Dandy. This land is our land. Remember that? Do you remember when you used to be able to go to Disneyland? Because Walt Disney loved America. And all the presentations. Remember Abraham Lincoln? Remember he'd stand up? Remember? He'd talk to you, Lincoln. Our national anthem, our early American songs spoke of a nation dependent upon God. That's why you don't hear those songs anymore. It's all about God. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Listen to this. America trusted in the Lord with all of its heart and leaned not to its own understanding. In all of its ways it acknowledged God. God directed its paths. America was humble. It was not wise in its own eyes. Rather, it feared the Lord and departed from evil. Listen to this quote. A patriot must be a religious man, wrote Thomas Jefferson. God who gave us life gave us liberty. And again, he said, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when, listen, we have removed their only firm basis? Well, what's that, Mr. Jefferson? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God. Thomas Jefferson. God's strong arm of protection. I'm concerned tonight. I give thanks to God, but my nation has departed from God. I'm concerned tonight. I'm concerned. When we are independent from God, God will have us to defend ourselves, and I don't like that. I want my God to defend us. And when we turn our backs on God, America becomes a walled city. I remember going to Washington, D.C., when you could walk up to the White House. And now it's ridiculously embarrassing. Washington, D.C. is a walled city with machine guns and blockades and concrete barriers under fear of attack. I'm concerned for our protection as a nation. But I give God thanks because he is our only defense. He's your defense and he's my defense. He's our nation's defense. I pray that our nation's leaders would see him as our defense. Number four, we give thanks to God tonight and tomorrow, church, for his gracious invitation. The pilgrims and our founding fathers responded to his invitation. It says, and I quote, we, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. Can you imagine that being said today? For the rectitude of our intentions do in the name and by the authority of the good of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do any other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Did you hear that? With reliance upon divine providence. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Number five, we give thanks to God for his sweet forgiveness. Amen to that. The pilgrims came here with that intent. The First Continental Congress appointed the day of thanksgiving and praise, quote, so that the people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and join in prayers that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and to enlarge his kingdom, which consists of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Samuel Adams and Richard Henry Lee, Continental Congress, 1777. Does this excite you? All five of us are excited about that. Man, you young people need to know this stuff because you're not getting it in schools. What caused the United States of America to be once so great? It was what she was built upon, the belief in God and the Bible, because God, it was understood, loved mankind. We became one by uniting in a common cause. Did you know that? One common cause united us. When America fought for its independence, there were Irishmen, Italians, there were Germans, there were Englishmen, there were you name it. There was a common cause that united us. And I fear tonight that we have failed to communicate that common cause from generation to generation. We will never be thankful fully for liberty and peace, I fear, unless it's taken from us. You know, you never quite know what you... Remember those, oh boy, I sure do miss my... Fill in the blank. Listen to what they said. You know this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Endowed by their Creator. You can't go around murdering people if you believe that each man has been endowed by his Creator. Can't do that. But if we have been created by our Creator and we have been created by Him, He's a God of forgiveness and it's wonderful. Number six, we give thanks to God for His perfect salvation. The pilgrims escaped Europe for religious freedoms. Contrary to the revisionists, not for economic reasons, the pilgrims did not come for economic reasons, nor for social justice reasons. They didn't come for racial issues. In their own writings, they said they came that they could worship freely without the intrusion of the king. Now, I quoted part of this, and let me keep going. When it comes to our minds about the first Thanksgiving of 1621 at Plymouth, listen to this. In the winter of 1620, a year before, just a couple of months after the landing at Pilgrim, or at Plymouth, I should say, nearly half of the 102 aboard the Mayflower died of starvation or exposure to the winter cold. Almost half of them. In the spring of 1621, on March 22nd, 1621, this is a cool story, you ought to read it sometime, a Native American Indian named Squanto, remember him? Came literally walking out of the woods and approached the pilgrims, speaking English. It shocked the pilgrims. They couldn't believe it. The guy spoke great English. They freaked out. What? He became a Christian, Squanto did, in England. He was captured as a slave and taken to England. Lived, I think, 5 or 6 years in England. Was educated in English. Became a Christian. And finally made his way back home. And when he arrived and got off the boat and ran to his countrymen, to his brothers and sisters of his tribe, listen to this. They were all found dead, either on the ground or half buried or some buried. All of them were dead. He was the only survivor. God had it in his providence for Squanto to be taken as a slave to Europe, get saved, learns English, makes his way back, and the plague had completely killed every one of his tribesmen. He was the only survivor. He was alone. And he comes walking out of the woods, speaking English to the pilgrims. The pilgrims didn't know how to farm the land. They didn't know that if you took fish, Squanto taught them to grind up fish and lay the fish guts and the fish emulsion in the soil and then plant corn, and it would explode and be extremely profitable and healthy. And he taught them how to hunt deer, and he saved them. I'm reading from William Bradford's book, quote, "Special instrument he was, sent by God for our good beyond our expectations," Squanto. And they had, having survived their first Thanksgiving, but you don't hear about Squanto being a Christian in the modern history books. God's great perfect salvation. I thank God, and I thank God that the gospel's been free in America. Listen to this. Upon his deathbed, Patrick Henry. I may be off on these numbers. Look it up later. I confess I may be off on these numbers. But if memory serves me right, Patrick Henry had either 11 or 17 kids. I forget which. I'm close. It was either 11 or 17. This I do know. By the time he died, Patrick Henry had 77 grandchildren. Dude, when the Bible says be fruitful and multiply, he had multiplied. If you ever get a chance to go to Colonial Williamsburg, Patrick Henry will be there. He'll pack out the theater, 1,000 people. You can hardly get in. Well, you can't get in unless you're there early, and he'll speak. You say, what are you talking about? There's historians that reenact. It's awesome. And upon his death, Patrick Henry said, and I quote, "Doctor, I wish you to observe how real and how beneficial the religion of Jesus Christ is to a man about to die. I am, however, much more consoled by reflecting that the religion of Christ has, from its first appearance into the world, been attacked in vain by all the wits, philosophers, and wise ones, aided by every power of man, and its triumphs have been complete." Patrick Henry dies. Number 7, I thank God for his continued mercy. Mercy. The word mercy means deep compassion or great pity. America needs the mercy of God tonight more than ever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, "God who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." We look to God for that. Mercy. Look at Psalm 118, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say his mercy endures forever." His mercy. God watching over us. God not giving us what we deserve. Then Colonel George Washington, serving under British command, wrote to his brother John after the Battle of Monongahela in 1755, in which Colonel Washington, his life had been spared while others killed all around him. Listen to this. This is from Washington's own writings. And you'll see this, by the way, engraved at Mount Vernon. Quote, "But by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability and expectation. For I had 4 bullet holes through my coat and 2 horses shot out from underneath me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me." George Washington. Did you know that Franklin Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, he says, "I do set aside the appointed Thursday of the 13th day of November 1933 to be a day of thanksgiving for all our people, May we on that day in our churches and in our homes give humble thanks for the blessings bestowed upon us during the year past by Almighty God. Can you imagine that being said today? ACLU would sue a president for saying that. We give thanks to God, number 8, for his great love. What can be said about this? Do I need to say anything about this, his great love? He loves us. I don't need to talk about his great love for us. It's obvious. Number 9, for his steadfast hope. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint. I've never known God to disappoint. I have argued with God about his timing, but he's never disappointed me. Because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit who is given to us. In 1941, the 77th Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as the national holiday or holy day, declaring, quote, this is Congress, listen to this. Let us celebrate the Thanksgiving observance, remembering to retain the original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays. Isn't that amazing? And number 10 is this. For his wonderful son. For the Christian who knows his Bible, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day we give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Make this your giving unto God, your thanksgiving. Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into 3 branches. Listen to this. He discovered the model for government from the perfect governor, he said, all in capital letters, as he read Isaiah 33:22. He says, for the Lord is our judge, the judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, the legislative branch. The Lord is our king, the executive branch, and he will save us. He saves us by his son, Jesus. That's how he saves us. And in 1812, then President James Madison signed a federal bill which economically aided the Society of Philadelphia in its goal to mass produce, listen, and distribute Bibles throughout America. It was approved by Congress on February 2nd, 1813. And I end with this final quote. Dr. Benjamin Rush, he was a radical Christian. Benjamin Rush, you do well if you study his life. Benjamin Rush, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin were the 3 key abolitionists. They started the abolitionist movement to free black men. He was an MD. Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, he says, my only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Close quote. Dr. Benjamin Rush, we need that. Lord, come quickly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called We Give Thanks to You, O God. It's a message commemorating the national holiday we celebrate this week here in America, Thanksgiving. Next time on Real Radio, we'll resume Pastor Jack's series through 2 Corinthians. That'll be on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is Real Radio part of your day? Are you learning and benefiting from Real Radio? Well, why don't you let us know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click Contact Us. The rest is real easy. Or if you'd like to, you can send us a letter, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found, including our phone number, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.